Well, it's a good way to begin the year, God's house, first Sunday, 2014. I wonder what the Lord has in mind for us this year. Do you have a sense of wonder, a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement? Lord, do your work in me, in us, in this community. And be glorified in all that we do. Let me encourage you in this fundraising effort. Please make it a matter of prayer. What you and your family might be able to do with God's help. I've discovered over and over and over again the Lord's favor on me. And as I have been generous, the Lord has just poured out on me abundantly His favor. And I encourage you to just take a step further. You're already generous people, I can tell. How you respond in BGMC and in other ways. I'm asking you to take another step into that act of giving and believing and faith in the Lord, that the Lord is going to help and bless and prosper you as you give to the work of the Lord. As you raise your BGMC giving, your missions giving, and then you're giving over and above your tithe to the these efforts on the building, I know the Lord will bless you. And He'll pour it out over and over again. I was just thinking about it this morning, in fact, as I was showering and getting ready to come. I was thinking about the favor of God on our finances and how God has given to me that I might give to His work. And as I give to His work, how He has given again and again. I'll confess to you, a few years ago when we decided to, it was time for us to retire from our church. I didn't tell my wife this, but I wondered, how was I going to maintain her style of living? And you know what? I don't think she's missed a beat. God has just been so good. And his favor has just been beyond my understanding, certainly beyond my level of faith even. He's gone above and beyond. And so I encourage you, give even sacrificially, make a, as you and your family discuss this in prayer, that, you know, make a commitment to this project. Say, we're going to do this year. We're going to just see how God is going to help us to accomplish this. And see these projects done. And I believe that is, if the Lord tarries, as 2014 comes to an end and you look around and you see the new windows and the bathroom remodel is done and the BGMC goal is met, and you look at that, you'll say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And as you look at your own life and your own finances, you'll say, wow, how did we do this? The Lord has been so good. So I encourage you in that, not to fear, not to fret over it, not to say, well, this we can't do, but to say, we can do this. And we're going to see God glorified in all of that. Make it a matter of prayer. Come Wednesday night to this time of prayer as you pray for your church. Begin this new year in bathing yourself and your church in prayer and expectation of what God is going to do. Well, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I suspect that you know that this is the longest chapter in the Bible. The 119th Psalm has more verses than any other chapter in the Bible. And it seems like every verse, I think every verse with the exception of maybe one or two, has some kind of mention of the Word of God. I in my Bibles, I've gone through Psalm 119 and I have underlined or circled every mention of the Word of God in that chapter. And it's, you know, it's commandments, it's law, it's statutes, it's word, many synonyms of that. So God, the psalmist is filled with attention to the Word of God, his commandments. But there's another theme through Psalm 119 as well. It's not as often, but it's often enough to take note. And I've also circled that in my Bible this morning. And I want to bring some of these to your attention. And these are the psalmist saying, I will. It's the psalmist saying, I resolve. These are my resolutions. Perhaps you have made some resolutions for yourself or your family. And resolutions are good. I wonder how many of them you kept last year. Some of them you're going to put on your list again this year. You're saying, I resolve, I determine to do this, I will. It's an act of my will. And so I want to look at a few of those in this service today. First, let me read this to you. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Teacher, do you have a new page for me? I have spoiled this one. I took his page all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one all unspotted. Then into his stirred heart I smiled. Do better now, my child. I went to the throne with trembling heart. The year was done. Father, do you have a new year for me? I've spoiled this one. He took my year all soiled and blotted and gave me a new one all unspotted. And into my tired heart he smiled, do better now, my child. Maybe you look back on 2013 and you had some resolves, some resolutions, some things you determined to do for him, and you look back and it didn't get done. Sometimes you're determined, I'm not going to make any of those ever again because I just never keep them. Or maybe you're saying, I determined to do better this year than I did last year. I hope that's your desire. And it's a new year. I mentioned this last week, how I love the new, a new day. We sang about it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I will. See, it's a new year. And it's a time to start over. You have a new page, a blank page, a clean page. I trust that you'll make some resolutions, that you will resolve, that you will say, I will in 2014. I will. The word resolve can be defined as coming to a determination or making up one's mind. Resolutions are the result of resolve on the part of a person. It's important to understand is that we'll never be all that God wants us to be, but there is this desire for us to strive. Paul said, I've not yet become all that I was saved to be. He said, I have not yet apprehended everything that I was apprehended for. But this one thing I do, I'm forgetting the past. It's okay to say, last year was gone. I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. It's done. I'm not going to wallow in shame or pity. That's done. There's a new page here. It's a new day. He said, this one thing I do, I'm going to forget the past, but I'm going to reach for, I'm going to strive for that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I resolve, Paul was saying, I resolve to become everything God wanted me to be. I'm setting that as my goal. I'm putting that in front of me. I'm reaching for it, the prize. Resolve, a determination to be all that God wants us to be. David sets a good example and expresses many resolutions with the word, I will, in this psalm. We're not going to look at all of them, but several of them today. The first one is found in verse 7. In verse 7. And he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. He says, I will praise you. It's an act of the will. The psalmist said in one place, Saul, praise the Lord. You know, it's okay to talk to yourself, as long as you're saying the right things. As long as you're saying the right things, it's all right to look in the mirror, grab yourself by the lapels, and say, Saul, praise God. I will. He said, I will praise you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my being. I will praise you. He repeats this throughout this psalm, and it's in fact a major theme in the psalms in general. Instead of grumbling over what we do not have, let's try rejoicing over what the Lord has given us. You know, it'll change you. It'll change you. It'll change your day. It'll change your year. It'll change your company. It'll change your relationships. But it's an act of the will. You have to say, I will do this. I will do this. If you have to write something on the mirror, write it on the mirror. If you have to put it on the dash of your car, put it on the but determine in 2014, you're going to give the Lord praise. I will. I will praise you. I will worship you. He has given us so many good gifts. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We grumble and complain about, you know, what didn't happen in 2013. And we get downcast. The psalmist said, why are you downcast? He was talking to himself again. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Don't forget your benefits. Don't forget your blessings. Jesus gave us gladness rather than sadness. He says, I give you my joy that your joy might be full. He gave us glory rather than doom. He gave us his peace. Let your new year be marked with rejoicing and with praise unto the Lord. Paul reminds us to rejoice, and then he says, again I tell you, rejoice. To praise the Lord in all things at all times. to give him praise. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And but it's a determination of your will that you will say, I'm going to praise him no matter what. I am going to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Determination of your will. It's a resolution. It's a resolve. And then in verse 15, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then if you'll turn to 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And in verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate. And so the psalmist is saying here, I'll reflect. He's saying in these verses and in others with different words or ideas, David speaks of meditating on God's word. He says, I'll get up early and do so. I will lay in my bed and do so. You know, some spend more time in the newspaper than they do in the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but the newspaper doesn't cause me to rejoice much. Even my teams lose. And I hate reading about it. I don't want to read how my team lost. See, it doesn't give me any reason to rejoice, to be glad. But the Word of God will cause your soul to lift up. The Word of the Lord will bring your life, will bring you life and light in your life. The Word of the Lord will protect you from temptation, from the schemes of the devil. He says, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Word of the Lord will give you wisdom for all of life's questions. I encourage you, he's talking about meditating. I encourage you to take notes in the Sunday morning sermon. And then meditate throughout the week on the Word of the Lord. I encourage you as you read God's Word, not just to read it and get your chapter done for the day, but to underline and circle and mark in your Bible and meditate on to look up in the concordance and the commentaries and say, what does this mean to me? And then meditate on the word of the Lord. See? Allow that word to begin to work in you. Years ago, we used to sing a song, the word is working mightily in me. The word is working. Is the word working in you? Is the word shaping you and molding you and changing you and improving you? Is the word at work in your life? Do you find yourself responding to life's issues with the word of the Lord? The word says, the Bible says. One of the things I loved about Billy Graham was he would stand there with the Bible in his hand and he would say over and over again, the word says, the Bible says. Is the word working in your life? David says, I'm going to meditate. I will meditate on the word of the Lord. That's more than just reading. That's saying, wait a minute, what does that say? As you're reading the word, do you stop and say, what does that mean? And then go and try to discover what it means. Meditate on it. Talk to others about it. This is what the Word says. We had a man in our church, Kenny Roberts. And when we'd have Bible study, or when I would just say to the congregation, "Has anybody got anything to say today? Anybody?" And invariably, Kenny would stand up and say, "You know, I was studying the Word, and the Word spoke to me." I mean, he would do this often. And you could tell he'd been meditating in the Word. "The Word said to me." When's the last time you had the Word say anything to you? Have you meditated on the Word of the Lord? Some of you have been serving the Lord for a long, long, long time. And perhaps you struggle with having a regular devotional life or Bible study. It's because you just go through an exercise. You just go through the motions. But if you would let the Word talk to you until you find yourself delving in it and seeking God. And I like it every once in a while when I've done funerals and someone would give me that person's Bible, and I would take the Bible and I'd begin to thumb through their Bible. And I would see it marked, circled here, in red there, underlined here, a little note in the margin there. And I could tell as I looked at that Bible that this person had been studying, had been meditating. The Word of the Lord had spoken to them. If I were to ask you today to give to me your favorite verse, would you have one? Would you have a passage in the Bible that kind of is your vision statement? Your life's goal. I have a friend that started this year, in the first year, every day I get a text, or it's on Facebook. They tell me now it's on his Facebook. I can go there. But every day he has a new word. I have another one that texted me and said, wanted to enlist me in a group of people that would share a new word every day, a word from the Lord. Do you have a word from the Lord? Perhaps 2014, why don't you look to the Lord and say, "Lord, give me a passage of Scripture that will sort of mark my pathway this year." Or maybe one for every week, or one for every month. A word of the Lord that you grab hold of and you embrace and you meditate on, and you allow it to speak to your life. You allow it to speak through you. You allow it to shape you and to form you. A word from the Lord. David said, "I'm going to reflect. I'm going to meditate on the Word of God." Meditate on it as if I have two of my grandchildren are in university, and they're studying nursing, and they study. I mean, they study. They work hard at it. Because they're going to have to pass a test. And I encourage you to begin to get into the Word of the Lord and begin to really study it and reflect on it as if you're going to have to pass a test. That it would mean that much to you. It's an act of your will. It's not going to happen unless you decide, "I will do this. I will do this." And then let's look at verse 16. Verse 16. I already read it once. "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And then also in verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." David makes up his mind that he will not forget God's word. He knows God's word has been God's source of life for him. He determines that he cannot live without it. Listen, God's word will direct your path, guide your steps, your thoughts, if you delight in it and remember it. By remembering it means by doing it. By doing it. You get into the word of God, you resolve, I'm going to live according to the will of God. These will mark my pathway. I will live by the word of the Lord. We need that more than ever in this day, when the lines have become blurred as to what's right or wrong. It's no longer a clear line. You ever on the highway and you can't really see where the lines are because they've wore out. They're not well marked. Especially when in this day when there's ice and snow on them and parking lots. You go into some of these parking lots, you don't know where I kind of like that because I can take more space than they usually give us. I don't have to park in between those lines. Just park anywhere because it's all blurred. And that's the way it is in life today. Our culture no longer has some clear lines. Life is blurred. And if you're not careful, you will begin to live like that as a Christian. You'll no longer know the pathway. You'll find yourself wandering over here or over here and not realizing you've strayed from the path because the lines are all blurred. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. I will not forget. I will remember your word, and I'll live by it. Verse 32 sort of continues this theme. In verse 32, he says, I will run the way of thy commandments, which thou hast enlarged my heart. He said, I will run the way. David is saying, there's nothing dull about the commandments of the Lord to the one who loves the Lord. The Lord says in 1 John 5, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our motivation for keeping God's commandments is our love for him. And David is saying, I will be swift to keep them, not slow, but I will be swift to keep them. I will keep them now. I will do them now. I'll run the way of your commandments, not slow to obey, but quick to obey. A longing to do so. I won't have to be coaxed, persuaded, or bribed into keeping your commandments. But I will do them. You know, sometimes as our raising our children, we would give them incentives to do the things we told them to do. We bribe them to do the things we told them to do. We knew they wouldn't do them unless we bribed them, coaxed them. But David is saying, I'm going to be quick to obey. I will do these things now. I will not put it off. I will do them now. I'll be quick. I'll run to obey them. Verse 46, another I will. He says, I will speak of thy testaments also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will speak of your testaments, your testimonies. The truth of God's word so thrilled David that he was compelled to testify of the character and the kindness of God and his promises revealed in his word. Think back how often you testified this past year of God's goodness to you. Or were you, you'd go to work and you just had a great week and you say, wow, I was really lucky this week. This happened and that happened and wow. Or did you go and say, boy, God has been so good. I am so blessed. You know, I listen carefully to people as they talk, people on television and radio and in the newspaper. And when I hear someone say, I am blessed, I think that person's got some kind of relationship with the Lord. That's not a word that people use casually. It's a word that's signifying that we are blessed of the Lord. I love it when one of these athletes is interviewed after the game and they say, first thing I want to do is I want to praise my Lord and Savior. I say, hallelujah. And that's like David said, I will speak of his testimonies. I will praise the Lord. I'm going to give the Lord praise. I'm going to speak of the blessings I have because of him. I will give him praise. Were you continually saying, praise the Lord? And people look around and say, what are you? Is that a continual thought? You know, if we were to talk more of the goodness, of his goodness, than complain about our problems, the goodness of God would become so much greater than the problems. We're sometimes all too focused on the problems and too silent about the goodness of God toward us. Let's begin to see and to give thanks for all the blessings, the little ones, like the parking space. When I'm in the parking lot, going to the parking lot, and I find one right up front, I said, well, thank you, Lord. When I find one way to the back, I said, thank you, Lord, you know I need to walk. It's a perspective, isn't it? Let's begin to give God thanks for his praises. Let his praise be continually in my mouth. This will be an effective witness to those around you. They hear you give praise. When I'm driving some of these people and they'll get back in the car and they got a good report, I kind of, well, how did it go? And I'll say, well, praise the Lord. And they'll look at me and say, yeah, praise God. Say, praise God. Praise the Lord. An effective witness. You don't need to stop this, what I'm going to say right now. You don't need to stop it. But understand what you're saying. When you come up to the preacher after and say, that was a good sermon. And I've kind of made it a practice so that I don't get tempted into thinking, boy, Ron, you're a good preacher. I've kind of made it a practice to answer with, praise the Lord. And what might be a better thing to say after you hear someone preach and you enjoyed the sermon or the sermon spoke to you is to come and say, praise God for that word today that really spoke to my heart. See, that way you'll relieve the pastor from being tempted to think that he really rang the bell. Sometimes I'll say, yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Because I want to express that it wasn't me, it was the Word. See, I want to give the Lord the praise. I want to give the Lord the praise. Praise God. And so as you get those little favors, those little blessings during the year, resolve, I'm going to recognize them and I'm going to speak of his testimonies. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Bless his holy name.
I will.
I will praise the Lord. Let his praise be continually in my mouth. Let's look at 117. 117. Hold thou me up, and I will be safe. And I will have respect unto the Lord, unto thy statutes continually. Here David is saying, I will rest. He's expressing the confidence in God holding him up. He testifies that those who know the word found themselves possessing great peace. He is our refuge. He is our rest. He is our shelter in a time of storm. He's a high tower that I can run into. Let's not be expressing fear and doubt, worry about tomorrow, about the coming years. I hope you didn't go into 2014 saying, wow, this world, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we're in trouble. There's some truth in that. But listen, for the believer, it's not a cause for fear and anxiety and fretting and worry. You can say, I will praise him. I will rest in him. He is my shelter. He is my high tower. He is the water in a dry and thirsty land. And you express confidence in the Lord. You rest in the Lord. You don't fret and worry. Stress out. I will rest in the Lord. He is my Sabbath. The Lord is your Sabbath. He is your rest. He is your peace. You express your fretting and your worry about tomorrow. What kind of witness is that? But as you speak of your confidence in the Lord, the fear and worry and doubt will flee, and the people will look at, aren't you worried? Aren't you fretting? Why should I fret? Why should I worry? My confidence is in the Lord. Underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will rest me. God's grace is always sufficient. What kind of a year are you going to have? Are you going to experience a year of grace? Grace by confidence in God's word, grace by confidence in God's word, grace by God's favor manifested in your life, grace by the number of people you have blessed by living this victorious, praise-filled, confident life in Christ. A writer once wrote, how strange is our little possession called life. He goes on to say in this, the child says, when I'm big. The young adult says, when I am married. And then, as he starts to age, he says, when I am retired. Then he looks back over the landscape traversed and he says, a cold wind blows over it. Somehow I missed it all and it's all gone. I hope that will never be your epitaph, that you look back and say, I missed it. Sometimes we learn too late, life is the very living in the issue of every day, every hour, experiencing his presence. So again we ask, will the new year be a year of grace? That depends mostly on you. In one of Shakespeare's writings, Cassius says to Brutus, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. We want to blame the stars, bad luck, good luck, karma, whatever. What happens to us in life is relatively unimportant. Let me say that again. What happens to us in life is relatively unimportant. It's what happens in us that counts. Don't tell me what happened to you last year. Tell me what happened to you last year. What did 2013, how did it shape you into the image of Christ? How did it make you a better reflection of His love, His glory, His peace, His joy, His presence? Two people can have the very same set of circumstances, and because of it, one person runs to God and receives His grace and has so much to rejoice over, while the other person runs from God and becomes bitter and angry. There are three ways we can handle difficult things that happen. We can be resentful and ask, why me? We can give in to resignation and quit, shrug our shoulders, whatever will be, it was not in my stars. Or we can resolve that we will partner with God and live by His grace and enjoy the goodness of God in our lives. And in all things, we will be thankful and give Him praise. What kind of resolve, determination will you exercise as a believer this year? Success as a believer can only happen as you align yourself with God's plan and purpose found in His Word, and that you will run quickly to it and you will stay within the lines, declaring to yourself and to God, I will. It's time for resolution, for resolve. I hope that your life can be marked and circled and underlined and underscored by the I wills. By the I wills. You'll demonstrate the record of your life will be full of the resolves that you had to glorify the Lord. I will. One of my daily prayers as I begin the day, every day, nearly every day, I pray this prayer. Glorify yourself in me today, Lord. The way I live, the way I act, let it glorify you. What I'm saying is that I will, I desire, I want to. I want to. I heard one guy give an altar call. He said, everybody that wants, raise your hand. And who wanted to respond. And he said, some of you couldn't raise your hand. Would you raise your hand this way? Would you raise your hand and say, well, I want to. Are you at the place that at least you can say, I want to want. And I trust that that's true about you, that you could all raise your hand and say, Pastor, this year I want to serve the Lord. And it's in my resolution, it's in my resolve that God might be glorified in me. I will. An act of your will. An act of your will. Father, help us, each one. We thank you for the new clean page of 2014. And today as we look ahead, we want to fill that page with, I will, I will, I will, I will. And if there's some of those areas that we haven't yet fought the battle to will it, would you at least allow us to say, this year I want to will that. Change my life. Break down the resistance that's in me against those things that I know that I should will to do until I can say with a surety, I will do this. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your blessings, your favor over the past year. Now as we enter into the new year, we put our confidence in you, that we will live according to your plan and purpose for us.